Hey there, hi there, ho there, everybody. How are you? Welcome back to another episode of the Kindness Warriors podcast. This episode is a special edition of the Creative Commons series of conversations that I am so excited to bring to you in 2024. We are going to be talking to some of the most creative, innovative, and inspirational people on the planet. I cannot wait to share these conversations with you. So let's crack into it. Kindness Warriors, let's go.
I want to get married in Vegas to a stranger on the strip, skinny dip in the ocean. Look, I don't give a rip.
Well, hello there. How are you? I hope you're well. I'm going to do it again. You know I'm going to do it again. I'm going to get wildly excited about bringing you this conversation. I feel like I'm making this like scooping motion with my hands right now because, oh, if I could just scoop it up and place it into your head and your heart, I know your day would be infinitely better. So because I can't give you the little scoop, what you're going to need to do is just buckle up, sit down, put your earbuds in or your nice headphones on and dig into this Creative Commons episode with the amazingly talented, deep, kind, introspective, energetic, love-filled human that is musician Madeline Finn. Buckle up, y'all. This is a good one. And so is Madeline.
Hey there, hi there, ho there. How are you doing?
Howdy. Hey there, hi there, ho there. That's pretty good.
I've had so many people text or ask me, what is the hey there, hi there, ho there? And I was like, I think it's Mickey Mouse. My little
It's just delightful. Three-year-old
brain.
All it is delightful. Just,
hey there, hi there, ho there. And then we're going to dive deep. You'll cry. You'll laugh. Let's start it off with some Mickey Mouse. It's like a positivity sandwich, right?
Very important.
Well, can you please, friend, introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about who you are, where you are, and all of those existential and literal things.
Ooh, yeah. Who am I? I'm a amalgamation of causes and conditions that some people call Madeline Finn. I am from Cleveland, Ohio, originally, currently located in Nashville, Tennessee. Use they, she pronouns. I'm just a big old musician, big old Buddhist, and a friend, I suppose.
Yeah.
That's all
so
I got.
I know you. Yeah, I know you as musician friend, but I've been following your Instas and your socials. Tell me about, I want to know more about the Buddhist thing. We're going to jump right in. I want to know more about how you got started in this practice and the things that you're doing in the community around the classes that you're doing. And it just, I love this aspect that I'm learning about you in snippets on the Insta stories.
It's the probably the most meaningful part of my life, honestly, is my Buddhist practice. And so how I came to meditation, I was in recovery, right? So I'm about 9 years now in eating disorder recovery. And while I was in a rehab facility, when I was first, kind of getting help, right? They had a class that was like just a meditation class, and we all called it nap time. So most of the time we'd go in and we'd just nap, and because we were so exhausted from just the hard work. And I just found it to be really useful. And then from there, I started to get into more of like the spiritual aspect, because my own relationship with God and religion is very skewed. I've always had like a religion allergy. And so I started to kind of dip my toe into the spiritual part from there because it was so helpful in treatment, and got into more of the like the manifesty, the abundance, the like the if I believe it, it's possible. And if something was wrong in my life, it's because I wasn't of the right mindset and everything. You know, it was like all very like all or nothing, a little bit of toxic positivity thrown in there. There's nothing wrong with that sort of stuff, but you have to take it for what it is. And so then I moved to Nashville and I found a spot called Wild Heart Meditation Center. And it's a center where you go and you meditate with people, which was kind of the next logical step for me. I love to meditate. I'll go meditate with other people who love to meditate. And I got in, and it's part of a lineage of Buddhism called Theravadan Buddhism, which is like old school Buddhism. And I just started to hear them say things. And one of the first things that they'll talk about is this like deep unsatisfactory nature of life, and how that's just like, that's part of it. That's yeah. okay. Like, it's just okay that things aren't okay. And we don't have to try and like fight it and change it. And man, it was relieving. So then I went up to the guy who was teaching that day, and I was like, I want to be here all the time. Like, what do I do? And so I spent a couple of years just practicing there under them. And then I did their facilitator training. So I just graduated from that last year. It was a 3.5 year program to wow. get certified as a Buddhist
wow.
facilitator and group thing. So now I go into rehab facilities and local libraries and even corporate spaces and mm-hmm. offer mindfulness in the way that I found it to be most helpful to me, instead of the way that it was kind of fed to me through the corporate system.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm really, really excited about taking it into actually the incarcerated population. So my plan is to pursue Buddhist chaplain work and show up in places where most of the spiritual knowledge folks get is fire and brimstone. I want to show mm-hmm. up in those spaces, and I want to be like, there's so much more. Yeah. And even just supplementing religious practices that people might already have. Because one of my favorite things about Buddhism is you can be a Buddhist, like a Christian Buddhist, but you can't be a Buddhist Christian, if that makes sense. Like, you can, Buddhism is just this thing that you can like enmesh with any other spiritual practice in a lot of ways, depending on the school you're taught in. But for me, it's been the closest thing I've had to like God, just the spiritual practice I've gotten from that and that sort of thing. So yeah, that's what I do.
That is amazing. So it's a mindset and a heart set and like an energetic tool or framework for how to mm-hmm. move through the life. I'm with you on the idea of, I love the title of that movie, Everything Everywhere All at Once, because that's what I've for years been trying to get out into the world and go, it is okay to feel your emotions. It's okay to be dissatisfied and satisfied. It's okay to feel like mm-hmm. this sandpaper energy while just being filled with glimmers and hope and all of these things.
Yeah.
How did you move in your practice from nap time to like awakening? I feel like there's a bridge there.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. If you find awakening, call me.
Okay. But your I feel actualization like, journey.
Sure. Yeah. Self-actualization. I went from nap time to that, you know, there's this thing that I've heard people say, the gift of desperation. And that's what I got. So no one tells you when you get out of treatment that you are still the same person you were when you went in. But now you just don't have your main coping skill. Yes. And so I lost my biggest coping skill, which was like controlling my food. And then, you know, later down the road, I realized that alcohol was my coping skill and, you know, had my own journey with sobriety. And I was just so tired of feeling like I was doing everything wrong, you know? Mm. And so I had this gift of desperation, and it was one of those things where it's like, okay, like this is fine. Nap time, meditation's cool. But when I started actually sitting with things, and like really when I experienced compassion for the first time, like true compassion, true self-compassion, I was hooked. I was like, this is the good stuff. Like, this is it. Because compassion is so, it bears witness, as opposed to what we think compassion is, which is fix. Correct. And it was just so nice to not need to fix things, to just bear witness in a way that was tactful. And I just kind of got hooked from there, and then started going down the weird, like, wormholes of like self versus non-self and quantum physics and all that weird, weird nonsense. But yeah, compassion, I think, was the thing that was
Yeah. It's amazing how it's it's a much more difficult thing to have the self-compassion and the self-empathy than it is to feel that for others. And I was telling you, I've been working in therapy on like the idea of busy. And what we've come to today with my therapist is the busy is my coping mechanism to not be self-compassionate. I can spend all of my time caring for others, but it's that sitting with it. It's the meditative state. It's the caring and not wrapping it up in the fix, but just in the allowing of being.
That's it. That's the secret. Done. 10 Dharma points. Great job.
Oh, you get points? I want to be a Buddhist now. Yes. Love a good gamification strategy in life.
All about it.
It's all about play. So you've had this spiritual journey, and you're still, I imagine it's an infinite journey for you while you're here with us on the planet and the podcast. And alongside that, I imagine there's been an artistic journey and the musicality and the creative side of who you are. And that's how I know you, is through your music and sitting on floors at B&A and shoot the shit at 4:30 in the morning. Tell me a little bit about your musical life, how it started, where you are now, and what you hope that shapes into.
Yeah. It started in church. I was a worship leader, kind of brought up through that whole machine. And when I came out as queer, I was no longer allowed or able to serve in the church. And so I had to find something else. And so, you know, I was in like marching band and did all that stuff. And then we had a songwriting class and I started writing blues songs. I was like, this is awesome. And I'd always kind of written songs, but I started playing blues songs. And I had a teacher once, that particular teacher of that class was like, hey, you're not a very good singer, so you should just write songs for other people. And I was like, oh, yeah, I'll do that. So I just started, you know, writing songs. And every once in a while, he'd let me sing them. And then there was this like big battle of the bands in my hometown. And, you know, we decided I was going to sing. It was this big like snafu thing. And then I was the first female fronted act to ever win this like longstanding, it's called the Tri-C High School Rock Off. I was like a sophomore in high school. I felt on top of the world. Yes. And so I kind of like sat with that project until I got asked to sing for a pop punk band senior year of high school into college. And that band just out of nowhere did really, really well. Wow. And so I had to drop out of school to tour with that band full time. And it still is like one of the biggest parts of my income.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
Like even today I was like tracking a feature for like a pop punk project, and like we're getting ready to release a new album. It's one of those like projects that is just always like going to be part of my world. Like it's so fun to be like, I'll be at restaurants and people will be like, do you sing for Envoy? It's just so fun. Like it's just one of those bands that has this weird little cult following of like angry, sad people who just need something to listen to. So that was like my big thing. And then I went to treatment, right? And when I got back from treatment, the band had kind of fallen apart. Our drummer was moving. We were fielding different record labels and it just kind of all fell apart. So I started a Southern rock project called The Whiskey Hollow and did that for a while. And that's when my alcoholism went through the roof.
I mean, it feels
spot
on.
Honestly, like... Yeah, right. And then I got on American Idol and like went more of the solo route. And so it's basically just been like this whole, it's been this whole like just chasing whatever I feel like I'm supposed to be just throughout my literal entire musical and creative journey, just what I think I should be, what I think I should be, what I think I shouldn't be, and trying to mold myself into whatever that picture is. And what's happened recently is it honestly started taking shape because I was like so disenchanted with my own music. Just hated playing out, I was getting just so frustrated every time I played. And it was actually like MDing and doing some more of like playing bass for people and music directing and doing the side work that made me realize that I just, you know, didn't have the heart for it the same way I did before. And then I got sober and I got on medication. I was like, oh, wait, no, I do have the heart for this. I just didn't have the heart to keep pretending. And so now I'm in the process of writing my first self-produced full-length record. I've got my first self-produced single coming out in the next couple months. And it's just nice. But where I hope it goes is I hope I just learn that I just don't need to try so hard. And I can just kind of make what feels right, and everything else will kind of fall into place how it's meant to be. I've just spent my whole life holding on for dear life, and now I'm just ready to kind of let go. And it's a really beautiful place to be creatively.
Yeah. I mean, that's the ideal, right? From a creative perspective, to make the thing that you know you need to make and put it into the world and to feel that freedom. But you might be in that place, but you are in a place, literally, physically, a town that plays by a lot of interesting rules and has some interesting standards. Some beautiful, beautiful people in Nashville. Some great art comes from there. Some real grit and depth. But how do you navigate a town that's a lot of the time based on that Southern conservative way of being and showing up, and the way you look, and all of the ands?
Totally. When I first got here, I mean, I had people tell me to lie about my age. I had people tell me, if you release that song, you're going to be the tokenized lesbian. You know, I've even like with my own like journey with my gender, like that's been super stunted because I've been, you know, worried and all these other things. But the way that I have learned to navigate it, because so many times I just want to run. I'm like, I'm out. I'm out. I hate it here. I don't hate it here, but I feel very like I'm pushing a giant rock up a hill. And when you start to realize that you're not doing it alone, I think that's when the real capacity for change happens within yourself and within the community, right? Because it's like, if we want to make changes to the system, they have to start internally.
That's right.
And so the way I navigate it is just finding people who get it. And there's tons. They just don't get as much time under the spotlight, right? But that doesn't mean that we can't set up these systems that are going to be super worthwhile and flourish for all of the artists that might not get like the mainstream stuff. It's just finding good folks, like finding Autumn and finding like my guitar players and Purser and all of these amazing people who are in the industry, whether it be on the business side or the artistic side. There's a lot of us here. It's just finding.
And from the business side of things, there's always this ideal and idea that to be successful, you have to get that big reach. You have to be on the radio. You have to have the limelight, the spotlight, and you have to have a big team. What does your world look like? What does that world, are you doing it yourself? Are you booking your stuff, producing your stuff, writing that, or do you have a nice team around you? I know the community in Nashville, the queer community especially, is pretty tight. But from your perspective, how are you running that business side of the creativity? Because there's, in the music business, that word is there, right? Music and business.
Yeah, absolutely. It's changed throughout my entire career. I mean, I've been a full-time musician for, oh my gosh, like, well, pre-pandemic and then like afterwards too. I had to get a day job in the middle of that, but I've been a full-time musician for a really long time. I'm really grateful for that. But for me, my team You know, I have one particular, I've had one manager for the past like 5 years. Her name's Dawn Marshman. She's a badass. And she actually works for Live Nation. And so she does a lot. She has like a day job, and I was kind of just the like project on the side, but we've kind of started to hit this precipice where her job is starting. Like, she's doing the Noah Kahn tours and the Tyler Childers tour. Like, she's just crushing it in her job.
Wow.
And so we're kind of starting to, as a team, her and I, look at like, okay, how do we expand this? And so like, I'm not allowed to talk about anything yet unless you, I can tell you and you'll take it off the record.
Just don't but tell me.
I've got, okay, I will not tell you. So I've got, but I actually like today got a call from someone who is going to be new, new management, that I think I'm about to negotiate my first label deal, which is insane. Yeah. I mean,
yeah.
And it's again, like I never, it's hard because I don't want to be like, it's just a thing. It's a surefire thing. But it's like one of those things when you wait so long to just have some validation and then it starts to come, you're like, oh shit. Okay. And then you're like, what's the catch? So this is like, just goes back to that underlying unsatisfactory nature of life. But now it's like, and you know, like it is the queer community, and even like the folks who back me up, like playing my band, and the people who, like, I've got a friend here, Liv Lombardi, who will help me produce stuff, and I've got friends like Piper Payne and her with Catherine, and they help me with product. Like, it's just, it's about finding, I feel like, mostly queer folks that just want to see. Because we understand that if one of us succeeds, the rest of us do, because we're building a, we're building something here in Nashville. And yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm really grateful, but my team right now, like, to be quite honest with you, is at like literally ground zero, and we're rebuilding 100%.
Does that feel exciting?
Which is cool, but it feels exciting because it's, I've just always either done it myself or it's been just kind of small scale, just me and one other person. And now to be like all of a sudden this, like, it's like, I'm not kidding you, Cassie. As soon as I got sober and got medicated, all of this stuff just started. It was like all of a sudden the universe or God or whatever was like, okay, we're ready. And like when I got cut from American Idol, they said, it's not a no, it's just a not right now. And so I'm starting to feel like maybe it's now. Because there's just all these little pieces and people are coming out of the woodwork being like, I want to help you. I love what you do. And I'm like, are you sure? And yeah, because you know me, like I don't even feel like I'm known that well as a solo artist as I am a, like a music director and a bass player and some of the other stuff. So it's just kind of random, but
yeah.
All right.
I mean, The thing that I love about you is that I seriously come into this and you're telling me these things. I'm like, I've been gone for 20 years. I didn't know you were on American Idol. I didn't know you did a pop rock band. I didn't know any of this stuff. I just like you because you're you. You're fun. You're deep. You are introspective. You are kind. You listen to people. And you're just fucking cool. First, like, we'll pause for a second. Congratulations. Holy shit.
Thanks.
After we're done recording, yeah, we'll have a little chit chat. Wow. Okay. Anything you need that I can help with, I got you. So that's first. Congratulations. Amazing.
Thanks, bud.
What do you have in place in your life to create some buffers and boundaries around safety as you navigate new territories that could potentially put you in front of more people? Because with the good, there will, like you said, there will always be, you know, some heaviness, and there could be some moments where you need to have safety in place. How do you imagine you'll navigate that?
Yeah, that's a really good question, and one I haven't spent a lot of time thinking of. But to me, it's the, I feel like over the past, especially 2 years or 3 years, I've been investing a lot of time in genuine self-care, not just like, I have the best wife in the entire world. Like, I'm so grateful for my marriage and my support system. But I have learned, number one, that just being on meds has literally changed my entire life. Yeah. It has changed so much. So making sure that I'm keeping up with my medication is one thing. Making sure I'm keeping up with my practice and putting that mm-hmm. first. Like mm-hmm. my practice is, if I don't do it, I feel so disconnected.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like just making sure, and also my sobriety, like I can't mess that up. And I know, because I've fucked around and I found out, you know, and it's, yeah. So it's like sobriety, medication, practice. Yeah. Those are the things. Those are the things. Yeah. And like therapy, DBT skills in particular, like I just mm-hmm. got into DBT therapy this year and it has been game changer.
Yeah. It's amazing how when we mm-hmm. allow ourselves to actually be in our bodies and to be in the world and to be present, we get those moments of clarity and like, no, I'm not going to fuck up my sobriety. I'm going to be grateful for all of the people who are actually loving me, even myself.
Mm-hmm.
And then also, what else can I do to create these? I call them buffers, like the buffers of safety that we have to mm-hmm. perform for ourselves. A little bit of a pivot, but not really. I want to know Ooh. More about your creative practice. So you're doing all of these things. You've got your, you know, your hands in a lot of different pies, but it's your time now. So you're spending time on you. You're doing these things. What's your creative process? Like, what does writing a song look like for you? What does recording feel like? All of those kinds of things. How do you put things together?
That's a good question. I do a lot of like coaching as well. Like I do a lot of like mentorship for musicians. And the thing that has been coming up a lot with all of my one-on-one clients and everything has been setting a direction and doing the next right thing. Because I have planned myself into oblivion and it never works. So mm-hmm. when it comes to the creative process, I set a direction and then I just do the next right thing. And so like some of it is logistics. Like I have a Calendly link where I send it to all my people I want to co-write with, and it like syncs up my calendar and they can tell me what days they want to do. But it's been a lot of collaboration. It's been a lot of essentially, so my direction is like this concept that I've been writing is an album from, do you know Internal Family Systems?
No.
Okay, check this out. It's a school of therapy. Right. I'm married to a therapist too. So it's, you're just going to get all of this. But IFS or Internal Family Systems is a school of therapy. I'm going to botch this. So if there's any therapist listening to this, correct me, but it's essentially a secondhand therapist. There you go.
Yeah.
Secondhand therapist, band name dibs. So IFS, Internal Family Systems, deals with all of the inner working parts of the psyche for the most part. Right? There's the inner mm-hmm. child, there's the inner critic, all that, all those little pieces and parts, right? So what I'm doing right now is I'm writing a record where each song is from one of those parts' perspectives, right? And it's mostly the perspective they have with my sobriety journey, right? So it's like, what does my inner child have to say about me getting sober? And what does like my inner critic have to say about me getting sober? What does my dog have to say, or what I imagine my dog would be like, have to say about me getting sober? And so that's my direction. And then I just know I want to collaborate. So I reach out or have people come to me and we sit down. I say, here's what I'm doing. And it comes. Most of the time, like if we're talking logistically, I always start with chords and melody.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't really, lyrics, I'm very loose on. I don't like to be rigid about words, because I think the more rigid you are on words, the less they are coming from something other than your own ego.
Mm-hmm.
So I really try to listen more than I write, if that makes sense.
Ooh, I like that. I like that.
So, yeah.
And what form does that listening take? It takes the form of the melody and the chords. Mm-hmm. And then within that, you fill it with the ideation of how you want the language to feel.
Yeah, essentially. Or it's like sometimes I'll even just hum out the melodies and one word will pop out. And it'll be like a random word, like a random stupid word. Like I've got, wrote one the other day, I can't remember. But it was like, oh, there's one I've been writing with someone and like, I just knew it. And I was like, okay, what is that? And I was just going, jet fuel. And I was like, what does that mean? And so I just started like that word, that those words came. And I was like, okay, what do you want to be? What do you want to be? Talk about it. And the whole idea, like it turned into this whole song about like one of the IFS systems is called the firefighter. The firefighter helps put out fires, but if there's no fires to put out, they'll create chaos so that they can put it out. And so the whole idea is like this imagery of a firefighter sitting in an AA meeting in a basement, drinking like the jet fuel coffee that's so like boiled down. And it's just cool. Like I love the imagery, but it just comes. And man, when I try to force it, it sucks.
Yeah. I feel like that's a life lesson. If you try to force it, it's going to suck. Regardless. Oh,
yeah. For sure.
That's like the fuck around and find out.
Fuck around and find out.
How easy or hard or vulnerable does it feel to share the art that you make? For some people, I know it's super hard. For other people, it is their day-to-day life. They do it. They put it out. Mm-hmm. It's out. And then for a lot of people, it can be really telling. One of the best things I read recently was when Brandi Clark and Brandi Carlile were working on Brandi Clark's last album. And Brandi Carlile went to pick some of the songs. She picked the songs that she said sounded like Brandi Clark wrote in her bedroom, like the most vulnerable. And that really tugged at my heartstrings. And I thought, shit, that must have been really hard then to share a lot of those songs. How does that process feel to you, the actual sharing?
Yeah. It's kind of interesting. My experience has been actually a tendency to overshare in the past. I don't have a problem being vulnerable. Sometimes, you know, it's been in my past to like use it for attention sometimes, right? Like vulnerability and I are best buds. But one of my like, one of the most wise things I've heard on this was from an artist named Meredith Rounsley, who I play bass for. And she helped write a song on the new record. And she said something like, my rule of thumb is I can't talk about it on stage unless I've done a little bit of healing from it.
Ooh.
And I was like, yep, I need that. Because I mean, I used to play shows and be so vulnerable, like the writings and that sort of thing. I don't find that to be where the vulnerability comes in. I find the performance to be where the vulnerability is. The song itself, that's not me. You know, like there's nothing vulnerable about that when it belongs to the world. You know what I'm saying? But the performance of it, that like embodiment of the tune, that to me is true vulnerability. And I used to like, when I would play Cassie, people would come up to me afterwards and be like, are you okay? Like, are you doing all right? Because I would just get so in my head and so emotional. And I would get like piss drunk and just like say crazy things because I was just no filter.
Yeah.
And I'm starting to learn now like boundaries with that. Mm-hmm. And like, if I'm being overly vulnerable, I'm not giving other people the space to meet me halfway.
That's right.
Like ego goes both ways, right? Like we've got the ego of like, I'm the best, blah, blah, blah. And there's also the ego of like, I'm the worst. So my whole like aim is to just be a five. Like I want to be here. Mm. And like Autumn always says this thing before songs, hope you get what you need from it. And yes, it's true. Like I want to be able to not just be like, I don't want to just give, but I also want to receive. And if I completely block that out by being overly vulnerable, you know, it doesn't leave a ton of ambiguity for folks to be able to draw some meaning from it for themselves. So yeah, no problem being vulnerable. Sometimes problem being over vulnerable.
Yeah. It's amazing you mentioned Autumn there too, because when all of y'all were playing the Ryman and then Autumn played that song, Mm-hmm. And you could hear a pin drop in that venue. Mm-hmm. That was the five of perfect vulnerability, because it felt like we could have been in any room, in any country, in any mm-hmm. place, and every person in there felt something, but also mm-hmm. could feel what Autumn had written for. And I think
exactly.
that's a really lovely way to put it. That's a really lovely yeah. way to put it. I'm with you on mm-hmm. overvulnerable. Like, I talk about my undies on this podcast sometimes, and people are like, why? And I'm like, because they're great undies. You should check them out. Yeah. Not on me. I mean, like, online. That yeah, would be way oversharing that nobody needs to see.
I love it.
So as you move forward into this year, tell me a little bit about some of the big goals you have for yourself and how you view success, how you define success and some of the big goals you have for yourself.
Ooh, how do I define success and some of the goals I have for myself? You may hear my dog, because I can tell he's getting ready to bark. But honestly, like, I've spent my entire life, like, being very achiever-oriented. Like, this is my goal. I want to have this. I want to do this. I want to do that. I don't know. And it's kind of nice. And I kind of want to, like, stay in that spot. That's my goal this year, is to just not need to know and not need to try so hard. And I just want to, like, set my direction, do the next right thing. And I've learned, by trying to make a plan and trying to set goals and trying to do all of this, like, controlling, I've just stunted all of the possibilities, right? Mm. There's this quote from Suzuki Roshi, who wrote a book called Zen Mind, Beginner's Mind. And he says, in the beginner's mind, there are many possibilities. In the expert's mind, there are few.
Uh-huh.
And so I think this year my main goal is just to be a beginner. It's like fresh start, you know?
We are on the path, my friend. That's mm-hmm. same with me. This year is very much yeah. no expectations. Just the next
yes.
good story to share. The next right thing for
exactly.
figuring out how we can all stay connected in this big wide world.
Mm-hmm.
We could keep talking that's forever, but... So
I think that's what success means to me too. I was just going to say, really? Success to me means that too. It's just being, yeah. just being. Mm. Nothing more, nothing less. Mm. Just being present.
As simple and as complicated as that. I'm going to hit you with a quick fire, if that's all right with you.
Ready.
All right. Okay. What's the one thing you can't live without?
My wife.
Hey, that's the sweetest answer. Amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me one thing that might be on your bucket list.
I like to bird watch, so I'd really like to see an Atlantic puffin.
That is the best yeah. freaking answer. No offense to everybody yeah. else who's done this.
I would love to see a puffin in real life.
I'm going to have to Google what they look like. That sounds amazing.
Oh, they're so cute. I'll send you a photo.
I can't wait. Sweet or savory?
Savory.
Sunrise or sunset?
Sunrise.
Ooh. Okay. And instead of the age-old question of what would you tell your 15-year-old self, what would mm-hmm. your 15-year-old self tell you right now if you could come back and give you one piece of advice?
Say it again. Okay, what would my 15-year-old self...
What would she say to you right now? What would they say to you right now?
Wow. I think my 15-year-old self would say to me... Oh my gosh, I don't know. I mean, the first thing that comes to mind is, like, keep having fun. Like, don't lose the joy in music. Because, man, 15 was so good for music for me. It was just like the epitome of joy. So I think that would be the piece of advice. They'd be like, don't take yourself so seriously. Have fun.
Ooh, I love that.
Yeah.
Oh, that's amazing. Thank you so much for your time. I can't wait to hear your album when it comes out, hear your new music when it comes out. And just, I adore everything about you. And you are the bee's knees. Thank you for your time.
That's you. Thanks for having me.
The Kindness Warriors podcast is hosted, produced, recorded, edited, and brought to you by me, Cassie Roma. And what a pleasure it is to bring all of these beautiful stories into the world. As always, thank you for your time, for your polite and kind and engaged feedback, and for simply being a part of the Kindness Warriors community. I appreciate you. Vegas to a stranger on the strip, skinny dip in the ocean, look, I don't give a rip. Smoke something stronger than a marble cigarette, oh. I want to just sip fiery whiskey, take one too many shots, buy something pricey with the money I ain't got. All the things that I ain't conquered yet, I wanna live a life I regret. Stop and breathe, take a look at what I'd see. I was spinning my wheels as the world kept spinning round. Just taking it day by day, getting by and away. Never making that leap with both feet on the ground. I want to get married in Vegas to a stranger on the strip, skinny dip in the ocean, look out. Smoke something stronger than a marble cigarette, oh. I want to just sip every whiskey, take one too many shots, buy something pricey with the money I ain't got. All the things that I ain't conquered yet, I wanna live a life I regret. I wanna live a life.